Welcome to today's episode. We're here with the ducks, which you will see walking throughout the plains. We thought we'd bring you ducks today because we want to talk about spirituality. I guess that's the word. I've really been thinking a lot about where we draw the line between having psychic abilities and being mentally ill.
Having psychiatric problems?
Yes. Okay. Where do we draw the line between psychic abilities and psychiatric problems? Where do we... No, and it's a really fascinating question because so much of it is cultural. And I'm endlessly fascinated by the mind and what it's capable of and what it does when it malfunctions. I'm also endlessly fascinated by the mind because what it is fundamentally is a computer that is designed to create and find meaning. Isn't that just what our minds do? Like, that is, if you just look at what the human mind is, it's just a computer that's just designed to find and create meaning out of anything, really. And when I think about the mind in that context, and then I think about religion and different spiritual beliefs and the different ways that people cope with reality. One of the questions we've been pondering, both of us lately, is basically the question of why did we get mugged on New Year's? Like, why the 2 hours before, not 2 hours, but why hours before the end of the year did we have like a traumatic event happen? And then you start to think, well, is this the universe telling me to move? Is this the universe telling me to leave? Or does that event actually mean nothing at all? And my brain is just a computer that's trying to make meaning out of an event so that I can cope with the event because the senseless chaos and violence that is existing on this planet is a bit too much to cope. And yesterday we were having a really interesting conversation with someone. And he was saying that he used to listen to Bobo and Flex. And then he stopped because he felt like I was just too toxic. I'm just too toxic. And I thought his reasoning was really interesting. He basically said that in order to thrive under capitalism, I have to be delusional. And you every day forcing truths down people's throats is inherently toxic because
like
they don't like it.
They don't like it.
And that comes as no surprise to me. Like, we're not particularly a popular podcast. You know, we're not like positive and hopeful and, you know, and I'm just, and I don't think there's anything wrong with positivity and hope and all that. It's just not, it's just not who I am. So like, I'm not gonna, you know, it's not like I can't bring that to, to my art because that's not who I am. And that's also not what I believe. I don't believe in delusion. I see its value. I see its benefit. I don't personally believe in it. I see why people tend towards delusion. And I think that's fine. I think if you want to live a delusional life, you should. Why not? It's not for me though. But I do think the fact that delusion is so popular and is what people go to art for is fascinating. How have you been doing psychically, mentally?
You know, spirituality is a really delicate thing. It's the grayest possible line, the line that you're trying to find, the one between psychic abilities and psychiatric problems, right? It really reminds me of this Desmond Tutu quote, where he goes, when the colonizers first came to Africa, we had the land and they had the Bible. And they said, let us close our eyes and pray. And when we opened our eyes from the prayer, they had the land and we had the Bible, right? So spirituality is both this really profound thing that humans use to cope with reality, to answer the big questions, to cope with the loss of loved ones, to cope with how fucking gruesome and hard life can get. But it is also this really manipulative tool used by elites to rob people of their things. And something that I think about with religion, based on my own kind of toxic upbringing with it, is it's a great way to fleece people out of their money. You know what I mean? And I try really hard not to have this inherently cynical approach when people start getting really spiritual, but it's hard. It's hard when like that is sort of your experience with it. But as I get older and experience more things, I would also be a moron to not kind of look at the truth of
life sending you signs, you know? I think there's something ignorant about abstaining from all spiritual thought altogether.
Yeah,
you know, those
yeah.
people are no fun,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And there's been so many little signs in my life and people that have told me stories of miraculous supernatural things that are kind of inexplicable.
Mm.
And personally, where I'm at with it is acknowledging that spirituality is a perfectly healthy practice, but it's sort of like marijuana, where if you have a psychiatric condition previously, it's maybe not the best thing to play with. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's almost as if in the same way that like we put advisories on other products like alcohol or psychoactive drugs.
Yeah.
Maybe we should also put like a warning label on spirituality, because I feel like we both know people that maybe had a few screws loose to begin with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe they weren't all there to begin with.
Yeah.
Found a spiritual community, you know, find a new spiritual ideology, and it doesn't really make them better.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it's interesting that like spirituality is the most kind of potent product out there. I always say this about Christ, like Christ is the best product ever.
Yeah.
It's forgiveness for all of your sins.
Yeah.
It's a new beginning. It's community.
Mm.
It's really insane that we don't gatekeep such a powerful product the way we do others.
Oh,
you get what I mean?
Interesting.
You can't drink alcohol until you're 21, but you can pledge your life to Christ at 8.
Mm.
You get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's currently where I'm at with it, where it's like there's so much value to it. It's really clear that people need it in their lives, but it needs to be like regimented and sort of broken down into pieces in the way that we do other really powerful things.
Mm.
Because it's clearly too powerful for some people. And if you are maybe bipolar or schizophrenic or have some of these issues, and then spirituality becomes a really big part of your life, may not end well.
Yeah.
That's kind of my experience with it, right?
Yeah.
Like, how many people do we know that maybe had a few screws loose and then Christ just came and knocked them all out?
Well, okay. The question then is, who gets to decide that your screws are loose? And, you know, and to what end?
Right.
Because in many indigenous cultures, ancient indigenous cultures, what used to be revered as psychic ability or an insight or healing abilities is in the modern age and under capitalism seen as an illness.
Mm-hmm.
And why did we let white people decide what is an illness and what isn't on a psychiatric, especially when they seem to know so little about the mind and what it needs to survive?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the world that white colonizers have created,
mm-hmm.
haven't they done every single thing you could possibly do wrong?
Right.
Like, they took every facet of society and made it hell.
Mm.
Doesn't that tell us how little about the mind they really know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at what they decide is an illness of the mind and what isn't,
mm-hmm.
how do you get to decide that when, A, you've created the world
mm-hmm.
that destroyed everyone's mind,
mm-hmm.
and then you get to decide whether that reaction is mental illness
mm-hmm.
or psychic abilities.
Mm.
How did we get to that point? Like, why? Why
right.
let them decide?
Right.
If I hear voices,
yeah.
if I say, listen, bitch, that mountain over there told me,
yeah.
it told me that there is an all-seeing energy that controls everything and has a purpose for where everything is going.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this really interesting book that I read a couple of years ago. It's called Conversations with God.
Oh, great book.
Yeah. And it's written by this guy, Neil Donald Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise of the book is essentially that his life was going to shit.
Mm-hmm.
In very modern ways. He was poor, he was on the streets, he lost his wife, he lost his family, he was depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sat down one day and wrote a letter to God angrily and was like, I curse you, God.
Mm-hmm.
Why have you done this to me?
Mm-hmm.
And he writes this angry letter to God demanding answers and demanding that he give him answers to why life is so miserable.
Mm.
And then God responded to him. And God came through the ink in his pen, and he just felt his hand write without his own volition, without his own free will. His hand just started writing for days and days and days until it was a book, and it was an answer to all of the questions he's ever had for God. So hearing that story, and then you hear about is it Moses who was talking to a burning bush? And then you hear about Moses and the burning bush, and you hear about Buddha sitting under the tree and getting downloads about life is suffering. And and when you hear about all of these stories, who is to say that Neil Donald Walsh was going through a psychosis, or that Buddha was actually schizophrenic?
Yeah.
Or that, you know, or that Moses was actually bipolar. Who is to say? Maybe they really were.
No, history may have been shaped by people just going through psychotic episodes. There's like a 90% chance.
But maybe it wasn't. Maybe there is a nigga that talks to some people sometimes. Or maybe we're all being spoken to. Well, I think the brain is a muscle. The muscle can only strengthen by being used, like any other muscle. And so maybe the muscle that is connected to the all-seeing eye or the everything is maybe our muscle has been severed. And I'm really confused. I don't know. And I think, I've been reading this book by my favorite person ever, Credo Mutua, who is a Zulu philosopher and mythologist and healer and seer and everything, really. And he predicted so many things that literally came true. Like he predicted 9/11, and he had the painting, and he went and he told everyone, like, guys, the Arabs are going to New York, and they're going with two airplanes, and they're gonna crash into the world, and everyone thought he was insane. And then it happened. So who is to say that any of this is psychiatric illness? And who is to say that in a world that is inherently sick, maybe people that are sick are the ones that are actually healthy? I don't know.
No, it's true. Yeah.
If this world is inherently sick, demented, and twisted, which it is, then by me being normal and conforming to what it is, am I not the one that's sick? By me not hearing voices and not being led by a greater power, and me just being isn't being a normal person a mental illness? No, like, really?
Yeah.
Is it not a mental illness
in a collapsing society?
To wake up every morning, go to your job mindlessly, come back, eat your TV dinner, stuff your face with a doughy donut from Krispy Kreme, watch your stupid TV shows, and repeat, and just be fine with it, and just be like, this is fine. Yeah, this is a good life. Is that not the illness? Thank you for listening to the first half of this conversation. If you're interested in listening to the rest of this conversation, you will find it on Patreon. So please support my Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/bobosvoid, or you can just click on the link in the description box below. If you enjoyed this conversation, I'll be having so many more of these types of conversation with different friends, with different strangers, with all types of interesting people, and sometimes just conversing with myself. If you are interested in philosophy, politics, race, all the things, I'll be hosting all the conversations on my Patreon. So patreon.com/bobosvoid, or just click on the description box below and support me. Thank you.